This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. Artist Carolee Schneeman realized in the early 1960s that people, and particularly women, weren't supposed to talk about sexuality. The only public references she could find were in scientific texts and in pornography. So she decided to approach the subject the best way she could, personally and artistically. The result was her 1964 work, Fuses. It was a film that showed her having sex with her boyfriend and included her cat as a silent observer. That work helped put her on the map as a feminist artist. She followed with many others that tackled gender and the human form and sexuality, but that's only part of who Carolee is as an artist. Her career has continued right up to the present and includes subjects like the terrorist attacks of 9/11. She's going to be at the Nasher Museum tonight reading from a new book, Correspondence Course, an epistolatory history of Carolee Schneeman and her circle. She's going to screen four of her films, including Fuses. Right now, she's in the studio to talk about her work. Carolee Schneeman, welcome to the State of Things. Good to have you here.
Hi, thank you.
You are considered to be an icon in feminist art. Is that something you set out to do?
No, that's quite confusing and bewildering in its way. The appreciation is inspiring and confirming, but I still feel that I work quietly, privately, obsessively, that certain issues and materials will occur to me and I try to pursue them and develop them, but I'm not working overtly into problematics of the culture. I seem to enter there from a side door.
Which side? What side? Because I've read a number of your letters, and of course, if you read four or five letters, you can get a very distorted picture of who you are. But some of the letters really dealt with your concentration and intention about women's roles and the fact that there were so few role models for you who weren't depressed or otherwise.
Well, the configuration that I had to establish is that I'm a painter. I began drawing as a child. I was never encouraged, really, but I was determined to make images and trying to learn what painting was, how to be an artist, was constantly suppressed, contradicted, or marginalized. It was very hard to find what I called precedents. They were missing. And so I have a chapter in an early self-published book of essays titled Cézanne. She was a great painter, because as a child I thought maybe the Annie, maybe it was female Cézanne. So that's how limited and enclosed growing up in a little rural Lutheran town was. So from what I consider to be the exclusionary traditions of male aesthetics, from that position of enclosure, I began my research and analysis determinations to be able to find a creative authority.
Some of your early works started building that image. Your works, Eye Body and Meat Joy, come to mind. Tell us about those works.
Yeah, Eye Body was in some way inspired by contradictory influences. For instance, the obsession with the female body in pop art. It was so cold, mechanistic, calculated. The forms of the female might as well be an automobile. They were so synthetic. And I wanted to see if I could possibly shift that through my own aesthetic, which took its energy from the pleasured body, the expressive body, the eroticized body. So the work, Eye Body, 36 Transformative Actions, was a set of entrancements where I spontaneously put my body within the materials of the painting constructions I was making at the time. There was no audience. There was my friend, the painter Eero, who was extremely encouraging and not at all misogynist, which seemed to be something that could be possible with a non-American visual artist. And so Eye Body evolved, and again, I didn't know exactly what I was doing. It was something I wanted to experience. And when I took those images, 1963-64 to galleries and curators, they all said, this is appalling. This is crap. If you want to take off your clothes, go somewhere else. If you want to paint, paint. And then Fuses, of course, was part of that conversation of the missing experience of feminine erotics. Yeah.
I mean, the fact that, any kind of eroticism or sexuality was expressed only in terms of pornography or sort of technical manuals.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's amazing how much everything has changed. And, of course, I'm a very pleased artist to have a work that's persisted in time, as Fuses has.
And there's the point of view, too. I mean, the idea of including the cat. Tell us about that perspective and why that was important to you to include that in the film.
Yeah, Frank, that's nice. The cat was really the presence that gave me permission to want to see what my partner and I were experiencing. And the cat, who is a very close element in our daily life, had this shameless appreciation of the couple making love, and she would be close to us purring. But then if you glanced at her, she would turn away very modestly as if, no, I'm not really looking. So I thought, you know, I have to do this without anyone, you know, I have to wind up the camera. I have to set the camera. There's no one else going to be in charge of what is possible here. So let's say that the cat is kind of the permission to observe.
And there's a lot of processing that goes on with the film. It's not just a video of this act. You then
It's a wind-up bolex, in fact. That's 30 seconds of film. Old-style way to capture action, which meant that my partner Jim Tenney and I had to completely adapt ourselves to a 30-second interval, which configured the collage aspect of the film. Mm-hmm. And then I wanted to paint and cut and sort of chew into the celluloid itself to sensualize the materials themselves, again, without knowing how this might enter any aesthetic discussion.
You talked about the reception that some of your work has had, iBody, for instance, you know, galleries telling you, listen, we don't want to see that sort of thing. And perhaps one of the most provocative was Interior Scroll, when you, in fact, pulled a scroll from between your legs and then you read from it.
Mm-hmm.
And what was that? What was happening with that?
Oh, well, that's the old troublemaker. That was another image from a dream. It was not an intentional programmatic idea. It was a little dream that I, you know, sort of between waking and dreaming, I like to draw if there's residual energy and imagery. And it was a little figure pulling a text out of her vagina that said, interior knowledge. So it corresponded to my need to explore vaginal energy as vital, positive, expressive, and the multiplicity of aspects to vaginal energy. But it was not an image that I ever wanted to enact. I didn't want to do that. And then when I called the monkey, the art monkey sat on my shoulder and said, that image will only mean something if you enact it.
Does it mean something to you, and do you take into account then the response of your audiences? And I say this because in this collection of correspondence edited by Christine Stiles at Duke, a correspondence course, there are a number of letters in which you express frustration at the fact that you are this is now the mid-70s to early 80s, and a number of letters express frustration at the fact that you've gotten critical attention, you're becoming very well-known, and you can't get a teaching job, and it's very hard to get in catalogs, and you're sort of confusion over how you can be so well-known, how you can cause so much provocation, and yet...
Well, it's still a problem because I consider the physicalized actions to be an aside of my main work, which has always been systems of moving images in space through projection, through installation, through kinetic elements. And those works, I think my mantra is that my use of the body has deflected my main body of work. So it's still very difficult to show and install the works that I feel are especially crucial to the overall vision of what I produce.
Describe that vision for us and why movement is so important to it.
Yeah, movement, well, of course, it comes out of abstract expressionism, which is a huge influence, and it comes also through the influence of living with the musician James Tenney, the composer, and pianist. So music was constantly active in, as we were students, in a tiny compressed environment. I was hearing Ives all day long, and Bach, and Mozart, and Webern. And so the energy of the music was corresponding to my sense of energizing the canvas to contain and release energy, and that began to develop into motorized works and the kinetic performative works. And my most recent work, what I'm most fond of, I'm just finishing a large sculptural installation of poured aluminum elements that are motorized, and they move in a very subtle, intense configuration. And the other work that I'll do a document of tonight is Precarious. It's a commission from the Tate Liverpool. It's three simultaneous projections through a mirrored system I design, which establishes shifting images of dancing in captivity. And then the audience walks and moves within these moving images.
Have there been changes in technology that have allowed you to express things in ways that you couldn't earlier in your career?
Yeah, I'm very excited about changes in technology. I edit video usually weekly. I live upstate in my original old house, and I take the bus to New York City to edit with the advanced systems at Electronic Arts Intermix. So that gives me a way of moving painting even further into space and new technologies. And kinetics, yeah, I'm working with some of my students who have, you know, can advance my own designs and imagery for activating elements in space.
There were times, there was a time certainly in the 1960s we talked about when sex was the taboo subject, you took it on. And by all accounts, revolutionized how we think about it. And things have certainly changed, as you said. Are there topics now that are taboo that we don't talk about, that we muzzle ourselves?
Oh, yes. The American history of different forms of genocides and political rapaciousness, technological controls which are invisible and shaping and deforming our environment. Those are huge areas of suppression now.
Is that? I mean, we're certainly allowed to talk about all those things. And we talk about in war. We talk about environmental degradation. I mean, they come up. So when you say we're muzzled, or maybe I said that, what do you mean?
I think the information is occluded. It's very difficult to analyze the underlying invisible technological structures that drive the most aggressive aspects of our country's behavior involvement.
Is that what you're trying to expose then in much of your especially?
No, it's overwhelming. I can hardly go there. You know, it's so huge now. During the Vietnam War, we had an enormous community of movement and awareness and ways of working that we really felt we could make a difference. We could raise the Pentagon. We could interfere with the endless assault on Vietnam, and probably did. But we don't have that kind of focus or configured community political action anymore.
Is there hope?
What do you think? I don't know.
Yes.
Well, there's always hope where we're, you know, active and thinking and engaged with the potentiality for bettering our circumstances.
I want to talk to you briefly about this book because time is running short. I know that you're going to be reading from Correspondence Course, an Epistolatory History of Carolee Schneeman and Her Circle, edited by Duke Art Professor Christine Stiles. Tell us how the book came about.
Well, we were going to do a different sort of book, and then another publisher came in and took over ideas that Christine and I had originally had for an art, more of an art history book of the work. And then there were all these letters, and I never imagined making them have a public life, but Christine did and brought this incredible devotion and determination and appreciation of them and saw them in their larger implication, you know, as a cultural form.
And it does span decades in your correspondence with other artists, and so it is. It's a great insight and wonderful to talk with you. Carolee, thank you so much for being
here. Thank
with
you
us.
So much.
Carolee Schneeman is a visual artist best known for her work tackling topics of gender and sexuality in the human body, but she does much, much more, and you can find out about that tonight at the National Museum, 6 to 8, reading from the new book Correspondence Course, an Epistolatory History of Carolee Schneeman and Her Circle. She's going to screen four of her films. That's tonight at the Nasher at 6. Thanks for listening to The State of Things. We're at stateofthings.org. We're on Facebook as well. Our program's produced by Amber Nimix and Alex Granados, William Kumpf and Nasser Abbas, our interns. Robin Copley is our technical director, managing editor, Lindsay Foster Thomas. Susan Davis is our senior producer. This is North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.